You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's do it.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA Show as a part of the Athletic
Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper, teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood-Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday, subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you.
Right here on The Athletic.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
All right. It is another Hoops Adjacent episode of The Athletic NBA Show. I'm in Milwaukee this week at the NBA Finals. Actually got out of the Batcave, dusted off the ID, and got on a plane and flew out here. Marcus Thompson in the Bay. What is up, good brother?
So I'm happy that you live.
I made it.
Did you fire on anybody? Did anybody get jobs?
No. I was waiting for somebody. I wish you know what would.
I was half expecting a viral video
of you. Me wailing on somebody.
I'm glad you did not become a viral sensation.
No, everybody had a mask on. There was no craziness on the plane. It was quiet. I was very pleasantly surprised. So that's a big first step back for the kid. I was happy. Glad to be here in Milwaukee.
I'm so
see
proud.
Giannis.
I'm proud, man.
Thank you. I'm back in the saddle again.
The elements.
I did.
You know what I'm saying?
I did.
Humans.
The mean streets of American Airlines. I made it. I made it. And
I'm talking
good.
Tough, but I am still in the Bay Area. I did not brave the elements. It's a little chilly out here. Those are the only elements that I'm braving.
Are right you now. Going? Will you go to Phoenix for a game 7?
I mean, that's kind of above my pay grade. I'm down if they want me to go. But you know, I gotta keep improving my game. I gotta keep rising to get to a level where I can.
We gotta get better.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Bud says every day, we gotta get better.
So maybe I'll get invited to a game 7. You feel me? Because you know, as it is right now, we got 98 people covering the finals, and
that's true. We do have a motley crew here. I don't think we have enough seats, so I may be just standing tomorrow at the Fiserv. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, we'll my see. Mama's here in town.
Oh, yeah. I'd
be on the first thing smoking if it meant no blame.
Okay,
I love you, Mama.
Oh, Lord. All right, we got Eric Name standing by. He's going to be joining us in like 35 seconds or something like that. But I want to take 1 minute to talk, actually 2 minutes to talk about what's up with USA Basketball. What's up with your boy Draymond? I thought they were going to have epic defense and shut everybody down. And I saw Patty Mills giving him the business the other night.
I think Draymond thought the same thing, right? You know what I'm saying? Draymond's got to finish these game winners, man. He can drive it down the lane with 30 seconds left. Like, you can't kick that out. You know what? When I watched him, I didn't watch the Nigeria game, like, live. So everybody was going crazy. And I was like, whatever, it's exhibition. I did watch Australia. And you know what I walked away thinking? These dudes are tired. They are tired. Yeah. Like, especially come late execution time where you need to focus. Yeah. They ain't got it. Like, you see dudes walking, jogging. Like, they don't have
I know
it.
They were saying they may not be in shape, right? Some of the guys may not be in good shape yet, or they lost the shape they
Absolutely.
Had during the season.
I think some of these guys, you know, the KDs, the Jason Tatums, can you imagine how much they chilled after their playoff run?
Right?
they went to full chill mode. You know Draymond been chilling, right? Draymond been in Cabo the entire time, right? So it's just like these dudes went from chilling to all right, let's go. Patty Mills literally like just destroys the USA every time he's wearing.
Look,
like, it's unbelievable. Marcus,
that's what I've been trying to tell people. Like Patty Mills might, he has one of the weirdest resumes. Like he is a good player. Like he's never been, nobody would even think about Patty Mills as an all-star, right? He's been a good player on a really good team for a long time. But he has these days and these moments, like in 14, he destroyed the Heat. Like he killed them, right? Like he ran them off the floor, off the gym in the last game of that series. And then he's been one of the great players in international competition for the last several cycles now. Like he's really good.
Why is he not Ginobili?
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's weird. He's got this weird resume. He just does not have the dominant body of work as an NBA player, but he has these moments where he is great. Great.
Hey, that dude put on that Aussie uni and all of a sudden the handles come out. He turned in Isaiah Thomas.
You know what I'm saying? Like he becomes a killer. And that team has always been on the periphery, close to a medal. They want desperately to get a medal, get to the medal round. And they were hoping Ben Simmons will play. He's not going to play for obvious reasons, but they still have a lot of NBA players. And Nigeria has a whole bunch of NBA players on their team. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like this is some college team that beat the U.S. team. Preston Chachua was a first-round pick. You know, Opala is a NBA player. Gabe Vincent's an NBA player. Okafor's on the team. He didn't play in that game. He's on the team. Ekpe Udo, who's been an NBA player for years, is on that team. They're coached by Mike Brown, who's an NBA head coach. Like, it wasn't a bunch of bums they lost to. You know, it was a good team. So, and they proved it by whipping Argentina in the next exhibition.
Yeah, you start wondering for this team, like, my question is, why are you scheduling these teams as your exhibitions? Like, part of it is like, yeah, you guys haven't played. You need some stiffer competition. You want to play somebody good, you know, and
right.
If you're Pop, you know, you're probably like, this is exactly what I needed, right? Just in case y'all thought all this money.
I can fuss at him.
Made y'all think y'all ain't going to listen to me. Now you got two L's. Right. But it almost feel like they kind of needed to. They need a confidence boost now. They need a Patsy to come in. Where are the Washington Generals, right? Like,
right. They did. What was the barnstorming team? Phillips Oil. Remember Phillips Oil?
Can we get one of these nations that don't play hoop? Let's follow. I do think we keep leaving out the exhibition part as we talk about it.
Yeah, right?
Panic attacks.
Plus, there's three guys that are currently busy
It's exhibition. They should be winning, but it's exhibition. We know they have another level, and it's kind of on them to get there.
Okay, what do you want?
So I'm not really worried, but man, I think it's the best thing.
So tired of
this. It's incredible. Yeah. Like now he gets to earn his money, and he's got guys listening to him for sure.
It's a godsend.
What went wrong for you guys tonight? What went wrong for us? Yeah, this afternoon. Sorry, I lost my...
They played better than we did.
All right, let's bring Eric in, who has two of those three guys that currently are busy trying to win an NBA title. Eric,
let down their country. Eric, can you talk about how they're let down their country by not playing these exhibition games?
Red, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday is just not a true American, right? He's got to get down there and help the guys out.
He can't live off his wife forever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Hoop.
Comma is
adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. It's like the bullshit and braggadocio. I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David
Aldridge. Oh, he's totally good. Yes. Yes.
And then they have their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in there.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop
and blowing out of it.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop 5-4. We have ignition.
And it's another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here. It's sweltering here in D.C., Marcus. It's about 98 with humidity. I'm thinking.
You're like in a Do the Right Thing movie, right?
You know
like,
what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You need the mayor to come out here. You need
somebody to rub an ice cube across your nipple.
Hey, we were R-rated in the first minute. Damn, look at this.
Didn't we start recording? Have we started recording?
The dulcet tones of the general manager.
Okay, I'm happy.
Thank you for joining us, man.
My bad.
Man.
My bad.
Eric was about to say how Jeru Holiday's a bad American. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I mean, Jeru Holiday's got to get down there and save the troops. Like, he's not a true American.
Wait, come on, man. This is, you know, like, Jeru, chill, Jeru. I understand you get all these patriotic points, you know what I'm saying? Because your wife is a Team USA soccer superstar. But at some point, Jeru, you got to step it up. Forget this finals pursuit. They need you.
Exactly. You got to go tell Bud and Middleton. You both got to go tell Bud. Hey, man, we
got
to go.
We got to go, man. They need us down in Vegas.
They can't get a stop against Patty Mills. Like, they need someone to lock him up.
Facts. You see what he's doing to Chris Paul? Come on.
Exactly. Well, that's the other headline we're going to get out. Eric Name says.
Oh, that's a job. We don't need that.
Yes, let's do it, DA. Let's do it.
Y'all are killing me.
Chris Paul stopper.
The un-American Jeru Holiday shuts down Chris Paul. There we go.
Oh, I love it. Outstanding. All right, so it's 2-1, man. It's 2-1 as we tape this on Tuesday. I think I have seen in the playoffs, the Bucks tend to get better as the series goes on. Are we seeing the same thing in this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent it's somewhat forced by Giannis's knee being okay. Like, in game one, you only got him for 30-some minutes. He only goes for 20 points. Like, there was a moment in the third quarter where he got kind of, like, crossed up by Jay Crowder. He grabbed at his knee a little bit, and you're thinking, like, oh, okay, like, he's not okay. Even though he had the chase down block, even though he had the dunks, you were like, I'm not so sure. And then game two came around, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's good. Like, he's good. And now you're at a spot where it's 40 a night, 10 rebounds. And I know that that's going to feel like outlier type of stuff. But, I mean, he did that to the Suns in the regular season. And the Suns were a damn good team in the regular season, too. So there weren't a lot of people doing that to them. So to me, this is a spot where I think it's a little bit forced by Giannis's health, but they have, as the playoffs have gone on, and, you know, I've been trying to get at it. It was like, are you guys just competitive in this way that you can't, like, front run a series and just go sweep them or win in five or what it is? But for some reason, they like to put their backs against the wall. But, I mean, they've done it, and they're comfortable, man. Like, they lost those two games, and you're expecting dudes to get tight. Like, we're talking about a team that people have called chokers, right? For two postseasons. Yeah. Like, you guys were so good in the regular season, you couldn't do in the postseason. And yet they go down 2-0 against the Nets. They go down 2-0 in this series. And they're just like, all right, we got this. Like, we're going to go take care of business. And we'll see if they can do it. But they've been very comfortable in that position this entire postseason.
Yeah. What's the interesting contrast between the past and now? It's almost like, it wasn't a gradual figure out, right? It feels like the switch flipped and it was like, all right, now we got this, right? Now, all right, now we know exactly what to do. And I don't even think they've done it against, like, these aren't patsies they're coming back against, right? Like, these are, I mean, I understand Kyrie wasn't playing and I understand Trey was hurt, but this is still like, yo, you got to win those. You got to take those. Mm-hmm. So There's something there. There's something brewing. My question was, okay, finals a different stage. And then we see game three looks a lot like the other ones, right? So there's clearly something about this team where typically we like, oh, this is Phoenix felt like a team of destiny. But teams of destiny usually look prettier than this. This might be the ugliest kind of form of destiny, right? Where it's like, yo, look, when it gets ugly and grimy, that's kind of where we shine.
Yeah, and I mean, like, obviously, DA, you've seen a million finals games. Marcus, you've seen some of the best finals games recently. KD in game five and game seven. I mean, I don't think I'll go the rest of my life, and I don't know if I'll see two playoff performances better than those two. Like, he was unreal. Yeah. So speaking to your Patsy's point, like, nah, like, they
they got the best of Kevin Durant, and they were able to weather it. And I think the big thing and why it has been so dramatic, where it's like, all right, we're ready to go, we're ready for this, like, whatever you want, we got it. I think you got to look at their two major acquisitions, right? Like, you got to look at Drew Holiday and you got to look at PJ Tucker. And I know PJ would probably be upset that I say this, but like, he's lost a step. Like, he's not the same PJ Tucker that could switch 1 through 5 and hold up against seeing Chris Paul and Trae Young every single night. But like, that dude brings a mentality. That dude brings whatever he's got. You are trying to bottle that up and get that on any team anywhere. You want that dude on your team. And, you know, early in the playoffs, he mentioned after the Heat game, like, we dogs. And that has been their rallying cry, that we are about this season. Like, if you want it in the postseason, come get it. And you're going to come get it here in Milwaukee, and we're going to give it to you. And I just think that, and then also Drew Holiday, man, like, he's had some rough times. And I know, Marcus, you and I have talked about this like on Slack and texting and stuff, like in between all these postseason games. But I mean, he was in some really rough spots. Like, he was not playing well. And then all of a sudden, Game 7 against the Nets, he's like, all right, I'm just going to take over for 5 minutes here. And yeah, and he saved the season, essentially. So these dudes, they can be down, they can be going through some rough stuff, and they just find a way. And that, to me, has been kind of the greater message of this entire postseason, is that they just find a way.
Is there, all right, so we've seen them do this, right? Is there an expiration? At some point, does it get to be too much? I'm curious about this because you're looking and like, Chris and Drew minutes are crazy, and they've been crazy. And you can see Bud just trying to find some guard minutes somewhere, right? How much can they keep doing this, right? Keep like squeezing blood from this tournament.
I think this series is like a really tough one, because Bud has never done this, right? Like, this is Bud's first time doing this too. And what I mean by that is, the last two postseasons, he was still like, I don't know if I should take Giannis over 40. And the whole world was like, take him to 45. Like, this is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, he can go. And he was very cautious about it. And from the start this postseason, he hasn't been that. He's really gone after it. So those dudes have played a ton of minutes. They've all talked about how tough that Nets series was. And then obviously Giannis goes out and it gets even tougher for Drew and Chris in the final two games of that Eastern Conference Finals. So I think this is a spot where, like you said, my mentions are full of people asking why Jeff Teague is on the floor. And I get it. Like, I understand that this probably isn't the moment for Jeff Teague, but also you got to try to find a way to get Drew off the floor for a little bit, like, to play as much as he does, to have the matchups that he has had in this postseason. Like, he's covering Chris Paul, man. And, you know, I was asking Devin Booker about it today, but like, the Suns will play deep into the clock. In fact, they like doing it. So you're playing the Suns, you defend the first action, you feel good, right? Oh, there's still 14 seconds on the clock. Okay, let's see what their second pick and roll looks like. Oh, you blew that one up? Okay, they're still going to sneak in a third one, and they don't care if it starts with 6 seconds left on the clock. They are going to make you defend to the very end. So if you're Drew Holiday, you got Chris Paul, and you're trying to somehow, some way make this dude uncomfortable. And, you know, when I ask Chris Paul about pick and rolls today, he's like, man, I've seen it all. Like, it's simple. Like, you're going to set a screen, you're going to get a roll, and it's easy. And I agree with what he's saying. Basketball is a simple game. But it's not so simple for some people when they're getting covered by Drew Holiday. And that's what you're talking about with Drew. Like, it is a heavy, heavy load. And I think Game 4 is going to be an absolute battle. Like,
they got, I thought Forbes gave him some decent minutes. I mean, he had two steals on consecutive possessions. I mean, look, you don't need him to score 20.
Right.
Just don't lose a lead, or, you know, keep you in the. So I thought they snuck a few minutes,
right,
a few decent minutes out of their backup guards the other day.
Yeah. And I mean, you got to. And I think what we've seen with this Bucks team is like, okay, so they go down 2-0. That next one is going to be like the emotional, we are not losing this game. All of a sudden, shots are going in. Like, they get their feel. Game 4 is the one where it's like, okay. Like, you don't have that boost. Like,
no, it's the series.
This is the series. And the Suns know that too, because they would be more than happy to go back to Phoenix up 3-1 and have a chance to close that thing out. So, I mean, game four to me is going to be an absolute war.
It really is. Like, this is going to be back-to-back must-win games, right?
for
Milwaukee. Yeah. We've talked about this a lot, and I know you've heard a lot from Bucks Twitter, but I want to hear from you without any input from me. How is Bud doing with his X's and O's?
Oh, man. That is, yeah, I have answered some variety of this question a whole lot in the last 3 years. This is what I'll say. Obviously, Bud's going to keep getting whatever from naysayers and people who are saying he doesn't make adjustments and he doesn't do enough. And I honestly believe like that was true in the last two postseasons. Like his first two in Milwaukee, I mean, you can go check the press conferences, but when they lose game six to the Raptors and when they lose game five to the Heat, my first question is, why didn't Giannis play more? Like, that's me. Like, right there, that is me asking, because I'm asking the same question on the fans.
When Giannis wasn't on KD, and
who
was right there asking.
Right. So I've been there, man. Like, I ask those same questions, and I understand those same things. And I just think that this postseason, he's done an admirable job in moving away from the things that make him comfortable. Like, I already mentioned the idea that all those dudes are playing more minutes, right? So you see Giannis get stretched out to 45, Middleton's playing 50 minutes in an overtime game. Like, all those dudes are playing way more. That's something that Bud has not done. It's something that people think is obvious and he should have been doing for a long time, so they don't give him credit for it. Which, again, fair, unfair, whatever. That is different. Like, he has made an adjustment there. We've seen the Bucks stick in their drop coverage at all times, right? Like, they have Brook Lopez, who, as I've written about at The Athletic a bunch of times, is an artist in drop coverage. He is the absolute best drop center in the league. Maybe second best. Rudy Gobert is probably mad at me right now. But, like, those two dudes are the absolute best in it. So the Bucks have tried to stick in it. Also, Brook Lopez is a good basketball player. He's one of the Bucks' four or five best players, so you want them on the floor. So they've stuck in drop coverage. This postseason, they've moved away from it some. Like, we got to see Brook Lopez switch 1-5 against the Hawks. We got to see it in the first game of the series against the Suns. We got to a point where Bud has made so many adjustments. Like, let's just think about this. In game one, people were pissed at him for staying with switching. Like, think about that. Right. Like, we've moved from, I'm never switching, we're not doing that, to in game one, people were furious that the bigs were switching and Bud wouldn't change that. And that to me is kind of, that to me is like the bigger, more finite point about Bud and adjustments, is that he's made a lot more of them this year. He's not afraid to do these things, but his adjustments are the same as the things that he used to do, where he can get too stuck on them. It's not the, okay, we're going to do two plays of this, then four plays of this, and then we're going to make those in-moment, in-game adjustments. That is probably the spot where I think Bud still lacks a little bit, where it's not exactly perfect. Like, it takes a little bit too long to understand, like, all right, we got to get Jeff Teague off the floor, or Jeff Teague's on the floor and I'm trying to steal a few minutes of Drew not covering Trae Young, and, oh, he just got cooked, and we just gave up a 6-0 run. We need a timeout. Like, those are the things I think Bud still needs to work on. But, like, to have the idea and say that, like, you know, he hasn't made adjustments this postseason, like, you're just not watching, which is fine. But, like, I understand with Twitter, jokes are always better than facts, right? Like, everybody wants to make jokes, and that's all good with me. But, like, if you actually look at it, Bud is, to me, I thought coached a really solid postseason.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I look, all First of all, nobody knows what they're talking about when they say you got to make adjustments. You have no idea what you're talking about. You know right. what I mean? Like,
I resist that notion. I know all the adjustments for my couch. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been covering this league 30 years. I can barely tell you what adjustments teams make from.
You're not talking down to my at home knowledge. I know it.
Look. Do you expect Giannis to go 13-17 from the line in any other game this series? Probably not. Do I expect Devin Booker to go 3-14 from the floor again in this series? Probably not, right? So that's the adjustment, right? That the adjustment is Booker's going to make more shots, which is going to make the Bucks defense less effective. Giannis is going to make fewer free throws, which is going to make the Bucks half-court offense less effective, you know. And so I do think the Bucks have created a problem, which Monty, of course, tried to walk away from today in his presser, which I didn't say anything about the officials. I was just stating facts. Yeah, okay. He shot 47 free throws in three games. That's astounding. You know, that's an astoundingly high number. And I'm not sure Phoenix has an answer for that, because they can't expose Ayton to getting into foul trouble guarding him. He's too big for everybody else on their team. You know, this is where they could have used Sarge. Sarge is out. They can't play Kaminsky. He hasn't been very effective,
they can,
put it that way, in his play so far. Right. So they don't really have a lot of options here, I don't think, for keeping Giannis off the line. And I think that's something, and I wrote this the other day, even if he goes 6-17, it still has a huge impact on the game, because you're getting Phoenix in foul trouble. You're getting to the bonus early. Other guys who get fouled 30 feet from the basket who can make their free throws are suddenly getting the chance to make.
Yeah. And we've seen this throughout the year. Like, they didn't have an answer for him in the regular season either. And again, whatever, those are one-off games a month apart against a Western Conference foe. So whatever, they might not mean much, but the same things we saw then are true now. And it's really interesting, because I think Ayton has grown so much just in this postseason. Like, the player mm-hmm. that he was in the regular season, a different player than he is right now. But when Giannis is going, like, I know it's not the prettiest thing. I know that people want to say that he doesn't have skills, but that dude is going to cause a problem. Either you are big enough to cover him and you're not quick enough to cover him, or you're quick enough to cover him and you're not big enough to cover him. And there's very few players in this league that somehow are in that little sliver of the Venn diagram in the middle that are both quick enough and big enough to cover that dude. And we're seeing with Ayton, like, he's a really good defender. He's given Giannis problems at times before, but as soon as he gets that Euro step, it's like, oh, where did Giannis? Oh, yep. He's at the rim. Whoops. All right, I'll try again next time.
I mean, it's impressive that he's that close, Ayton, right? I wouldn't have pegged him to be even have effective at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, this is the Giannis problem. And obviously during his media availability today, Giannis talked about how he's tired of seeing the Giannis wall, and like, that's always going to be something that he's going to have to deal with. But I mean, it's real. Like, you can't cover him one-on-one. Bobby Portis, in between roasting DA the other night about being old.
No, Laurie Nichol, who's a really good columnist in Milwaukee, asked him about, I forget what she asked him, but he 30 years from now, what will you remember? And he's like, I'll be 56 then. That just happens to be my age. So
you handled it with
pointing press. Out that I'm not dead yet.
but essentially what Bobby said is like, all right, so you don't want to help, or you get in foul trouble or whatever it is, one-on-one against Giannis, good luck. That's his exact quote. One-on-one against Giannis, good luck. And that's the truth. Like, you have to put a team together, which is why this Bucks team is always going to be about number two and number three. And the expectations on those two dudes are always going to be outsized for someone that probably doesn't touch the ball all that much. Like, you got to stand around and watch Giannis, because he is transcendent. But also, when the ball gets in your hands, you got to make the shot.
You better make it. Yeah.
And you're not going to get a lot of flow. You're probably not going to get a lot of touches, but it's your job when it happens to make it. And we've seen both Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton struggle with that at times in the postseason. And we've seen them both do incredible jobs with it at times in the postseason. That will always be what it's about. And that's what it's about here in the NBA Finals.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, man, what to me, what makes this series so riveting, like we've heard about Giannis not making free throws. We've heard about Giannis not having no bag. We've heard about Giannis being really the second tier player while Chris Middleton is the star. We've heard about, like, this dude has heard everything. And you know what is constant? He never stops coming. Like, he never stopped. The dude is like Jason, right? Like Michael. It's one of the great things. Like, and to their credit, if Phoenix wins this series, they will know they have earned it, right? Because this dude is not going to stop. Offensive foul, whatever. He's coming every time. He's never going to stop. You can take his kneecap off. Like, you can, whatever you want. Like, he's never going to stop. And we're going to get this incredible, like, test of wills. Because Chris Paul is hungry, right? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hungry. Like, this is like, we're going to get this crazy test of will over these last whatever games. Like, game four is it, right? Like, but Giannis is never going, it doesn't matter. Like, he's not going to stop. He's going to come for you. You can say whatever you want. We can talk about bags and handles and all that. That dude don't care at all. He's just going to come for you. And it's refreshing in a day and age when people care so much about a lot of stuff. Like, he's really old. He's really, like, from DA's era mentally, right? He's old school, right? You know, 56, you know what I'm saying? Like, back...
I don't know if y'all saw it, because like in Milwaukee it became viral, and I don't know if anyone outside of Milwaukee saw it, but like the Bucks do this like all access stuff, and their like social media team is really good. Shouts to Nick Monroe. Like, they got a video of Giannis after it was one of the games where he airballed free throws. So they're shooting free throws during practice, and this dude is on like a wrestler, like a professional wrestler, like promo gimmick. And PJ Tucker is underneath the basket and he's shooting free throws and in the competition. And he like makes it. And he's talking about like, I've been down before. I've been down before. I airballed free throws in Oklahoma
City.
Game seven, I miss it. But I keep coming. Like, there's only one way from here. It's going up. And it was just like, it was legitimately like professional wrestler gimmick, cutting a promo, but like that's how that dude feels. To your exact point, Marcus, like he does not care. Like, make fun of him, whatever. Get mad that he shoots threes sometimes. Like, get mad that he misses a free throw. Get mad that he takes 20 seconds on a free throw. Like, dude does not care. He's gonna keep doing what he does, and in the end, what he does is pretty impressive. And he's just gonna keep coming.
It is. I've talked about this with Marcus the last several weeks, because the Bucks have been in this run, that I don't think people realize where Giannis is from. You know what I mean?
And what he's from, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And people have this notion that he's some kind of dilettante or something. And it's like, no, dude, this dude grew up hard. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, he's not going to be fazed by missing a free throw or a three-pointer. You know what I mean? Like, he's, like you said, he's going to be relentless in his pursuit of this and continue to come at guys. And I do think there is a line that you cross, though, and maybe he crossed it – 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know, but I do think when you get to this highest level, when you get to the finals and you realize, oh, they can't stop me in this round either. You know what I mean? Like, this is the round where you're supposed to be exposed the pressure's right? too great. And, you know, you can't get the shot up above your shoulder. And he's like, oh, no, I can still horse it over these guys. And that makes you dangerous to me because there's lots of guys that didn't, that spit the bit in this round. And so far, it's only three games, but so far, dude has posted. He has shown up in a major way for this team.
And it's always been fascinating to me with Giannis. You know, a couple of years back in their first playoff run, I was able, since we were actually able to be at practices and be in arenas and do all that, like I was able to talk to him throughout the process. And one thing that always struck me was that, like, so early in that run, second round, they go to Boston, they lose game one. And everyone was like, you know, have they figured out Giannis? Is the wall good enough? Blah, 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 blah. Like, they're talking about all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, game three, there was just a moment where he goes up against Al Horford. He spins off him, goes baseline, and throws it down. And, like, me watching the side, I was like, oh, he just figured it out. Like, he knows that Al Horford doesn't have anything for him. Like, he knows he's got this. And I asked him after that series, I was like, what was your like thought process? And he was like, you know, we were like banging up against each other. He's like, we got to game three. And he's like, my back hurt, right? Like, I was like, man, I'm sore. And then all of a sudden I thought, man, if I'm sore, he's
another old joke. Here you go.
But like, it was just, like, to me, that's like a level of processing, right, DA? Like, that's what you're talking about, yeah, about figuring out like, oh, I can still do this here. Like, yeah, throughout his career, that's kind of, to me, how he's always approached series, is like, all right, let me feel this out. Okay, these are my spots and this is what I can do. Against the Suns, he's got a lot of spots. Like, there's a lot of spots that he can do.
I was about
to
say, I think he didn't figure it out. I think he, like, game one, he was like, right? There was one play, he got the ball, like, outside the left key, took one dribble and went to Aiden's chest, and Aiden went backwards. And I was like, oh, you just don't be moving Aiden like that. That's like 260 pounds of Bahamian muscle. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, but that dude backed up, and Giannis dunked it. I was like, oh, this is what we doing off a hyperextended knee. My bad.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
You know, the question, kind of the bellwether of the Bucks is Middleton, right? Like, whenever when he doesn't have a great game, you know, that's when they're most beatable. It's almost like when he's playing well, given that Giannis is good, like, they're really incredibly tough to beat. But I'm wondering, how does he get, like, going? You know how he does those things where he goes in one of the rhythms? Because he's expending quite a bit of energy on defense. Like, he's really bringing it defensively. Like, his job on Booker in game three was incredible. And even, I don't think you could sleep on Mikal Bridges either, right? Like, he's one of those guys, if you lapse on him, he didn't cut back door, or he didn't, you know, shifted to the corner for open three, and he's going to make you pay for it. So, what are your confidence levels in that Middleton can find his offense while he's having to expend so much energy on defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting playoffs for him, right? Like, so first series, he chases Duncan Robinson around all over the floor. Second series, he chases Joe Harris around all over the floor. And when he's not chasing Joe Harris around, he's also covering Kevin Durant. So, like, he's gone through some stuff. Honestly, Atlanta was the easiest series that he's been a part of. But now he's in this
another
spot.
Shot. You hear that, DA? He's like, Bogdan's trash. There you go. He said it.
Man. Man. I actually got to watch myself on here. But now in the finals, right? Like, so he was great on Booker in game three. And I think for him, one, you tweeted this the other night, Marcus, I think, like, it's always a little bit easier for him at home. Like, he's always just a little bit more comfortable. And with Chris, the problem is he doesn't get anything easy. Like, his easy stuff is a contested jumper. And that's always how it's been. Yeah. Like, here in Milwaukee, we've always termed it the tough shot express. Like, when Chris is really going, like, the tough shot express is rolling. And with him, that's kind of how it goes. So he doesn't get to the line. He doesn't get free throws. He doesn't get layups. Like, those easy ones aren't there. So it really does. To me, a lot of times, it just requires one to go in. Like, he just needs to see it go in. And if you look at game one and game two, man, some of the shots Chris shoots look great, go in the rim, bounce around a couple times, and then fall out. And those shots are really difficult to bounce back from, right? Like, you did everything right. It feels good. And Chris has said this before, like, if I miss right or left, I know I'm doing something wrong and I'm going to fix it. But if it bounces around the rim and falls out, like, I made the shot. Like, I did what I needed to do. So for him, I think a lot of it is just seeing one go in, and that can be really tough on the road. We've seen him have some really tough road games. And then, to his credit, this is something he's really worked on over the years. When those nights started, let's say 3 or 4 years ago, like when he had an 0-for-5 start, it'd be like, all right, I'm just going to pass. I'm just going to try to get people involved. And now he knows, like, I don't get to have those nights anymore. Like, if I'm 0-for-5, 6 has to go up, and 7 has to go up, and 8 has to go up. So he's had some ugly nights in this postseason, right? Like, there's 2-for-13 starts, but he still keeps shooting them. And I think that's the biggest part with this team is that they've learned that they can win ugly, that, like, if they can be good enough defensively, they'll get through the cold shooting and then try to win one late. So as far as if I can tell or what he's doing, I don't have a damn idea, Marcus, like, because that's just Chris's game. Like, there's going to be some level of it that shots just have to go in. And if they don't, well, then he went 2-for-13 on the night, and that's that.
They got to win a game in Phoenix. So can they?
I think the Suns are just so impressive.
They're really good. They're very good.
I know Marcus was early on this one, right? Like, when did you predict they would win the finals? Like,
before the playoffs, baby.
But, like, when you watch that team, it's just so impressive that there's not anyone you can ignore on their roster. You can't just say, we're going to leave that dude. And right now with the Bucks, you can leave PJ Tucker. Like, you can leave Pat Connaughton. Yeah. Like, the Suns don't have that dude. If you leave someone, they are going to hurt you. So you have to be locked in the whole time. And then they have what I would say is the greatest point guard I've ever seen. I didn't get to see Isaiah or anything like that. But, like, I mean, Chris Paul is just – he's going to get the best shot possible. It's just what he does. And when they're at in Phoenix, like, they are just cooking. I don't think the Bucks can beat them on the road. Like, I don't think they can beat them in Phoenix. I think this goes, like, I think the Bucks are going to find a way to win game 4, and this goes 7. Everybody wins it at home, and the Suns pull one out in Phoenix. Like, I just don't think the Bucks can do it.
Game 7, man, Phoenix. You know, game 7 has been known to tighten up a few,
It's one game. It's one game. Anything can happen in one game, right? So, absolutely. But I hear you, and that's where I think Phoenix still has the trump card, is that they do play well at home.
Incredible.
They have crushed people at home. So,
you know what? They should give a player to the Bucks just to, like, make it even. You know what I'm saying? Like, who would you say? You said Jay Crowder or Cam Johnson? Because that's all the Bucks need is one more guy.
Really even.
They just need one more guy. Yeah.
It's honestly been a funny playoff run for me because, like, I just keep hearing people say, like, oh, you know, like, the Bucks are one person away, or they're just, like, not quite good enough. And I'm like, thought that DiVincenzo looked pretty good in the first round. Like,
you have a really
catastrophic injury with him where he's going to be out for the rest of postseason. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, our offense doesn't flow as good. And, like, this isn't to say, like, Dante's going to shoot 40% from three or go, DiVincenzo in the national championship game against Michigan. Like, I'm not saying that, but just having one more dude that can move the ball, that can get to the rack, that can hit threes, like, that is so
important. That can let you sit one of your guys for 5 minutes and not feel like everything is falling apart. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's I don't want to say it's disappointing, but it's, like, a really tough part of analyzing this series is, like, going into it, you knew you weren't going to have them. And they still won, right? Like, they still beat the Nets without Dante. They still beat the Hawks without Dante. But there is, like, that part that, you know, that's why I asked Drew Holiday after game 1. I was just like, is this, like, the first time you really feel missing Dante? And Drew was like, no, we felt it the whole time. And I was like, yeah, that's right. You're playing, like, 45 minutes a night. My bad. But, like...
Right.
You're
like, what?
Oh, I felt it, Eric. I have felt it. But, like... as you're going through it, like, this is the moment where you have to cover Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and another guard would be very helpful because PJ just, like, isn't as quick as he used to be.
Yeah. This is a great – I'm loving this series. I think this is fascinating.
This series is incredible, man.
I haven't missed any of the quote-unquote big names at all. This has been great fun, great theater. I agree with you. I think this might go seven. I think this could very easily go seven. And I think Phoenix will, you know, if it goes seven, I would put a lot of money on Phoenix in a game seven. But I don't know because neither of them have been there. So that's the fun part about this. To Marcus's point, you have no idea, you know, who's going to tighten up in a game seven.
I Bucks game fours, don't they tend to be like a dogfight? Have they blown anybody out in game four?
No, that's what I'm thinking. Going to be bad.
Yeah, it's normally the game three, yeah. We got you. And then game four is like, all right, it's tooth and nail.
No, they're going to get Phoenix's best shot in game four.
I feel like there's a part of Phoenix that might say, this is it. Like, you know what it reminds me of, to be honest with you? It reminds me of 2016. The Warriors were up 2-1. Yeah. And I just remember Steph, like, he just went off. He just went. I'm going to the hole every time. You could tell he's like, if we just get to 3-1. Now, obviously, we know what happened after that. But you could tell, like, he left everything. He was getting to the line like crazy. That's not even his game, right? He was just like, we're winning this game. I do think Phoenix has some players who can do that. But I don't know, y'all. I think Milwaukee can win in Phoenix. I think the later the series goes.
I'm waiting for Phoenix.
I love Phoenix. I'm waiting for the moment where they look like a team that's never been there before. And it hasn't happened yet. But I got a feeling it's coming. Like, at some point, it's going to be like, yo, Cam Johnson is not going to make every single thing he throws up, right? Like, like, at some point, the dude got to be like a first-timer in the playoffs. So, I just find it hard to say Milwaukee can't do something. Because I've been critical of Bud, right? Like, I think that team is kind of slapstick sometimes. But, man, like, this team, they are relentless, dude. Like, they just don't stop. And even, like, last game, when Phoenix came within four, and you could, like, here we go. That was a moment for them to be like, here we go again. Them jokers, I don't even know where they got the gas from, but they hit the gas and took off again. And it was like, this team is kind of ridiculous. They don't make sense to me. Like, you know, It works. Like, yo, this team they won't go away. They're like a scary movie from the 80s.
Yeah. Man, Eric, thank you for joining us, man. I know you're hella busy with finals.
He ain't doing nothing. He out here taking people to dinner. He ain't doing nothing.
I know. I have to apologize to Eric because I'm old and scared. I don't want to go to a big group dinner. He invited me tonight, Marcus. And I'm old and scared. And I'm like, I don't want to be around people. So,
man, you should have told him he'll have his own separate table on the side.
My own bottle service. If they have my own bottle service, I'll be all right.
I mean, I guess I'm gonna have to talk to my people and see what we can do.
It's going down in Milwaukee.
Yes. Might be some pictures coming out on tomorrow. You never know. Man, thank you for joining. Thank you for hitting us up, Eric. Appreciate it, man. And be safe out there, my brother.
Will do. Appreciate you.
Take care of my guy out there, man. You gotta, you know, don't let him throw haymakers at people. Don't make sure he don't go off on nobody. You know, let's keep our guy cool.
I've got to be safe out there. That's it.
You got to be safe in these mean streets. You know. Mean streets of Kenosha, wherever I am right now. I'm not sure. I'm on the outskirts of Milwaukee. I might dip in tonight. So I appreciate everybody listening in. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. And if it's less than 5 stars, you know the rule, Marcus.
Keep that to yourself, haters.
I feel weird. I feel numb and I wish that this would end. I've got both feet on the floor, but I can't move my head. And the sky is where it's at. The sky is where.
the mecca of basketball.
So there's like a parking garage in there, and then like they open it up so it's like open air, and that's where like where they're
I was trying to piece it together for like TV, but I couldn't figure out where. So the old arena is still there on the Marquette.
The Mecca is still there. Yeah, the Mecca is still there. What's it called now?
The Milwaukee Panther Arena.
Right, yeah, that's the old Mecca.
It's the Mecca of basketball. Like
the bars and stuff across the street from.
Yeah, now they've blown it out even further. Like, there's even more bars, which seems impossible because we're in the city of Milwaukee.
Come on,
baby.
It's not impossible in Milwaukee. Come on.
It's the Mecca of basketball.
When I was there, it was like one block. Right? Like, one block. And here I am. It's like, go.
It's the Mecca of basketball.
It's the
Mecca of basketball.
It's
the Mecca of basketball.